Good afternoon from the studio at WHO headquarters in Geneva, where we are about to start our virtual press conference on alcohol and health, the report for 2018. Before we go to Dr. Vladimir Pozniak, I would remind people that if you want to ask a question, dial 01 on your keypad to get into the queue. The audio file of the press conference will be online shortly afterwards, as will a transcript. So we aim to serve you as best we can with all forms. So without further ado, may I turn over to Dr. Vladimir Pozniak, please, who will make some opening remarks, and then we will open it to questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gregory. We launched today the new edition of the Global Status Report on Alcohol and Health, where WHO presents the comprehensive picture of situation with alcohol consumption, alcohol-related harm, and policy responses around the world. The information presented in the report is organized by WHO regions and by World Bank income groups. The situation with alcohol consumption in the world continues to be, the consumption level continues to be very high, with a very significant disease burden attributable to alcohol consumption. We have 3 million deaths, which are the latest estimate for 2016 from WHO. This is 5.3% of all global deaths. And at the same time, the policy responses which are currently in place in countries are definitely not sufficient to reverse the trends which we observe in several parts of the world, or to improve significantly the situation with alcohol-related harm in the world. Among the important features in the report is that we have a projection of consumption of alcohol by 2025 to increase, which means that we can miss the target of 10% relative reduction that is being put forward by countries in Global Monitoring Framework for Non-Communicable Diseases. But at the same time, the report presents also some positive trends which took place from 2010, which shows the feasibility of a reduction in harmful use of alcohol when effective policies are being implemented. I probably will stop here for the questions to come.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Pozniak. I'm looking at my list, and the first in the queue is Jamil Shadeh. If you would like to go ahead, please, Jamil.
Yes, thank you for the question, Gregory. So my question is about developing countries, emerging countries. How do you see the perspective of growth in these countries? Despite the fact that you mentioned in your report that you, for Latin America, you predict that Brazil, Mexico, and I think the U.S. Would also register an increase in consumption, if you go to the country profiles, you see that from 2010 to 2016, Brazil registered a reduction in consumption of liters throughout this period. So my question is this fall from Brazil being stopped and there is a reverse, or is simply that it's a question of data there? If you could answer these two questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for this question. So if to speak about the less resourced countries, the report clearly shows that the links between harmful use of alcohol and development. And I think this is one of the specific features of this report that is tailored towards sustainable development goals, and including the health targets, and also shows that the impact of harmful use of alcohol is bigger on the countries with less resources, and also on the segments of populations with less resources. So at the same time, also the report shows that in countries with low income, any increase in influence result in increase in alcohol consumption. And this becomes an imperative for the governments to put in place measures that can mitigate the harms associated with this increase. On one hand, a good development with the increased influence of populations. On the other hand, increase in alcohol-related harm. If to speak specifically about the Brazil, indeed, the trends shows that the that there is a decreasing trend up to now. And this is not something unusual, because when we look at the trends with alcohol consumption in many countries from 2000, you can see ups and downs, which are determined by different factors. It's overall level of social development and the situation with economics in the country. It's the introduction of effective policy measures. It's the cultural trends which are happening in the countries. So that's why, indeed, we have a prediction that in Americas there would be an increase in consumption from 2018 by 2025, but it follows the overall trend. Just to remind you that, again, you can see in the report that from 2010 till 2016, the global consumption of alcohol is stable at 6.4 levels. At the same time, before 2010, there was a very sharp increase in alcohol consumption in the world, which again reflects these waves of consumption, waves in changes in the levels of consumption around the world. The same happens in Brazil. At the same time, I would suggest if you are interested particularly in the situation in Brazil and the reasons for changing the consumption and projections, this can be addressed more. They will be addressed more in detail in the report of PAHO that will be produced after the global status report is being released.
So when specifically might that be, the global status report, do we know, or the PAHO report?
The PAHO report, it may come at the end of this year or beginning of next year. As well as the for European Union countries, there will be a report that will be released in the next 2 months.
Thank you. Jamil, do you have any follow-up questions?
Basically, whether economic crisis, do they decrease the level of consumption, or do they increase the level of consumption of alcohol?
If to speak at population level, from data that we have, it decreases the alcohol consumption. So economic crisis is associated with decrease of alcohol consumption almost in all countries that we observed this association. At the same time, it doesn't mean that this decrease is happening in all segments of the population. We know that sometimes the economic crisis results in increase of consumption and alcohol-related harm in particular segments of population which are most vulnerable.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jamil. To the next question, Marta from EFE, the Spanish news agency. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello. A kind of follow-up question as well regarding the Americas, but as well the European Union. I want to understand which is more important, the socioeconomic levels or the cultural background of the regions, having in mind that the European region and the region of the Americas are those where the consumption is higher compared with Africa or Asia. And then a couple of questions specifically on Spain. Regarding policies and interventions, it says there's no taxes on alcohol, and I guess they are, so I don't get this no in the answer. And then, there's a no in the alcohol policy responses. What it exactly means? Thank you.
Well, if I think I will start with responding to your last question. When it comes to policies, there is excise tax is no only to wines. And I think this is not excise taxes. This is not unique. There are several countries which belong to wine-producing countries in the world when excise taxation on alcohol exempts wine as a specific alcohol beverage category from alcohol excise taxes. So, and that's what, based on the information that we received from Spain, because all the data presented in the report is based on the survey of focal points in the governments of the countries, we assume that we think that wine is exempted from excise taxes in Spain. When it comes to the to several alcohol policies which are mentioned in the report, I can see that, for example, health warning labels are not present, and there are no regulations on that in Spain. The legally binding restrictions on alcohol advertising exist, but not on product placement. And I think that this is, to our knowledge, it reflects the reality in the country. However, we would be grateful if any information which probably has happened recently and was not included in our report, we would be grateful to receive it. And after this conversation, I will make special efforts to check what is actually has happened recently in Spain that could be missed in our information.
Marta, are you okay?
Yes. With that, I have to follow up, and then I'm waiting for the other question. If actually, I'm not doubting the data. Maybe it really doesn't exist. If it is the case, do you think that the Spanish government, like other governments, should do more and implement those policies in order to decrease the consumption of alcohol, which is, in the case of Spain, higher than the European average?
We definitely think that, and WHO promotes the pricing policies as one of the most cost-effective policy options to reduce the harmful use of alcohol. And when it comes to excise taxes on alcohol, as well as other pricing measures, it's really, it significantly impacts the levels of consumption in the countries. That's why any increase in alcohol taxation and decrease in affordability of alcohol for people would bring public health benefits. Though we know that these kind of measures are not very popular among populations, particularly when drinking is so deeply embedded in traditions.
Thank you, Vladimir. I believe, Martha, you had another question? Okay, sorry. Reminding everyone, if they want to ask a question, to dial 01 to get into the queue. So we move on to the next question, which is from Jolene, I believe is your name, from Politico. Go ahead, please. Hold on just a second, please. We're looking to see who is next in the queue. A reminder that both the audio transcript and a written transcript will be available after the press conference. Okay, now let's try Chris from The Times. And could Jolene please go back in the queue? Chris from The Times, are you there? Sorry, both Chris and Jolene apparently need to go back into the queue. So if you could both dial 01, please. Please dial 01. Thank you. Sorry. Okay, I think we have Jolene back. Go ahead, please, from Politico.
Hi, yes, thank you. I see a note here in the report that there have been positive policies that have reduced the consumption of alcohol in Eastern Europe. I was wondering if you could detail the policies that have been effective.
Thank you very much. I think the most dramatic decrease in populist country in Eastern Europe was in Russian Federation. And since 2010, the Russian Federation, the government implemented several measures which are fully in line with those which are promoted by the World Health Organization. They introduced, for example, the minimum price for spirit, for vodka, which is the major spirit in the Russian Federation. They introduced advertising bans across media. They banned the selling of alcohol beverages in gasoline stations. They increased several times excise taxes on alcoholic beverages. They banned the sponsorship of involving alcoholic beverages, though there were some changes related to FIFA, to the World Cup, but in principle they pursued this track of preventing and banning any sponsorship involving alcoholic beverages. They increased regulations for time and place of selling of alcoholic beverages, and they increased responsibility for drink driving as well as for drinking in public places. So there was a set of measures which resulted in what we see as a decrease in alcohol consumption and alcohol-related harm.
Very good. Thank you. Jolene, a follow-up question, if any?
Yeah, I was curious also if there were any countries in the EU that particularly surprised you with this report.
What you can see in this report is that when it comes to the European Union countries, they are currently are much closer to the top of the list in the European region. And this is not related to an increase in alcohol consumption in these countries. It's more related to substantial decrease in consumption in those countries which traditionally were at the top. I mean in Eastern Europe. So this is something that you can easily pick up in the latest WHO data on consumption of alcohol in the European region and in the European Union. There are no big changes in there are some trend to decrease consumption, but at the same time there are no dramatic changes in alcohol consumption in most of European Union countries, apart from some, again, the Baltic states, which also achieved in the last few years, they had some achievements in decrease of alcohol consumption, alcohol-related harm, and it can be also attributed to some policy decisions and policy measures implemented in these countries.
Dr. Bosniak, thank you. Vladimir, thank you. Next, remember, dial 01, please, journalists, if you want to ask a question. Next question comes from Chris of The Times.
Hi, can you hear me this time?
Yes.
Thank you. In terms of policies, you said need to be intensified. In the UK, Public Health England has announced a shift in its strategy to say it wants to work with the alcohol industry in shaping messages about harm. And this has been quite controversial with some public health academics in this country who say no, but the industry should be kept at a distance from the formulation of public health messages. Does the WHO have a view on this issue, whether the industry should be a partner in this or whether they should be kept a long way away from public health messages about the harms of alcohol?
Thank you. So in several documents there was the ins and also the in the speeches of the former director general of WHO, the position of WHO on involvement of alcohol industry and engagement with alcohol industry was quite clearly specified. So there is no role for alcohol industry in the process of alcohol policy development, and this process should be guided by public health objectives and led by the governments with appropriate protection from commercial interests. At the same time, there is a role for alcohol industry as one of the major stakeholders in what they can achieve in reducing the harmful use of alcohol. Though, from all the evidence, scientific evidence on evaluation of these measures, we cannot conclude that these measures are effective. At the same time, we continue a dialogue with the alcohol industry on what they can do in reducing the harmful use of alcohol in their role as producers, developers, sellers, and marketers of alcoholic beverages.
So just to follow up on that, does that mean that government should not be working with the industry to formulate public health campaigns in the way that is now happening here? They should be saying industry should be doing their bit, but separately to what governments are doing.
I think it's important to distinguish the process of alcohol policy development when all voices should be heard, but at the same time, the actual development of the policy, of public health policies, should be protected from commercial interests. It doesn't mean that, for example, the position of alcohol producers cannot be made available for in this process, but at the same time, the process of development of public health policies should be protected from commercial interests. When it comes to implementation of different policy options and different measures, of course there is a role. For example, when we are talking about the serving of alcohol beverages on premises, of course there is a role for alcohol sellers or for the commercial sector to do what they can in, for example, in training of their staff. There is definitely a role that alcohol industry can play in introducing the self-regulation on marketing and advertisement. And I think just recently some major alcohol producers introduced some self-regulation codes. But I want to highlight that this effectiveness of these codes were not demonstrated if they are implemented in isolation. So when it comes to co-regulatory frameworks, when it coexists with governmental regulations, it can produce expected results.
Can I just clarify the point there? When, in terms of policy formulation, are we also talking about, you know, the content of public health campaigns about alcohol, which is the issue in this company, in terms of the industry helping shape the messages about what people should be told about the risks and risks of drinking?
I think there are many examples of this public health campaigns when the borders between marketing and public health messages are very vague. And this definitely is of concern for public health communities and should be of concern for public health communities, because the public health objective of these campaigns are to reduce the harmful use of alcohol. And that's and from the evaluation research that we have, that the results of which we available, it shows that indeed these kind of campaigns, when they are run by commercial actors, by an alcohol industry, do not bring the expected results in terms of public health benefits.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you very much for that. That was interesting. Before we go to the next question, just to remind everyone that the embargo on this story lifts in half an hour. That's at 1300 GMT, 1500 Geneva time. So exactly in half an hour. Remember, journalists, please to dial 01 on the keypad if you want to ask a question. Our next question is again from Jamil Shadi, who has a follow-up. Go ahead, Jamil, please.
Yes, sorry, because you mentioned something that I wanted to touch on, and it was not on the report, but since you touched upon, which is the fact that some of the big sports events in the world are still financed by beer companies and others, and they appear very strongly at the World Cup or anywhere else. Even in Qatar in 2022, the Quran will be put aside for a moment so people can drink. My question, should these entities, FIFA, IOC, sports organizations, block or impede sponsorship by alcohol companies?
Well, we think when it comes to the sponsorship, particularly in sport, We know that these events are being watched by millions and sometimes billions of young people. And it's impossible to prevent exposure to this kind of advertising to those who are under legal age. It goes not only against the governmental regulations in most countries, but it also goes against the self-regulation imposed by alcohol industry. That is why we think that, again, from public health perspective, this kind of sponsorship don't bring good results and should be stopped. But at the same time, it's up to the bodies of FIFA and IOC to make these decisions. We have a dialogue with these entities, and we hope that this kind of public health considerations will prevail over commercial benefits, which definitely are present there.
Okay. When was the last time you sent them a letter or met, and what was their response?
You sent them a letter. Have you met with them, and is there a response?
We haven't sent a letter on this particular message, but in the dialogues which are taking place, these questions are raised up. But at the same time, I would say that specific activities on this particular issue are still ahead of us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. It doesn't look like there are any more questions in the queue, but before signing off, I'd like Vladimir, Dr. Pozniak, to give us what he believes are the three most important messages out of this report.
Well, I think one message is that though there are some positive trends which we observe from some indicators, the level of alcohol consumption and alcohol-related disease burden is unacceptably high. The second message is that based on all trends and predictions, we can expect the increase in overall alcohol consumption and alcohol-related harm in the next 10 years. And this will definitely result in increased number of deaths and suffering around the world. Third one is that we have clear discrepancy between the magnitude of the problem caused by harmful use of alcohol and the resources and commitment to introduce and implement cost-effective and effective measures. I think these are, and countries will miss the target if and not advance the SDG, relevant SDG targets, if the situation will continue to be stagnating at the point that we presented in our report.
Dr. Pozniak, thank you very much for that. That was an excellent summary, and I believe helpful to me and everyone else on the line. And so we would say thank you, and to remember once more that we'll have the audio and written files, transcripts from this briefing up soon, and to say thank you very much. Goodbye, all. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you very much, Doc.